Our guest on the World Cafe, Marty Stewart, loves country music. Heck, he collects it with over 20,000 items in his personal collection that he salvaged when traditional country wasn't cool. He got his start playing with Lester Flatt and has had his share of hits. Mostly, he enjoys himself playing with his band, the Fabulous Superlatives. They are here today with music from his new gospel album, Soul's Chapel. He was led to make this record when, after a DUI conviction that left him troubled and actually embarrassed, he encountered Mavis Staples shortly after her father, Pops, died, and she gave him one of Pops Staples' guitars. He's here with his band, the Fabulous Superlatives, and I begin by asking Marty Stewart where all this love of the roots of country music comes from.
I came from Mississippi. The Mississippi Delta in particular was a great spawning ground for American music, great American roots music, you know. Robert Johnson came from there, Muddy Waters, Pop Staples, B.B. King, Elvis Presley, Jimmy Rogers. A lot of those kind of music figures that I grew up listening to. And I found out that the Mississippi Delta is still alive and well spiritually. It's a great place to, it's a wonderful place that I went to just in my heart and my head. And went there and just kind of stood in my imagination and started creating records from that perspective.
It's been a long time in making, but why now, Marty? Was there anything specific that kind of led you to do this Soul's Chapel now?
Well, Soul's Chapel was about a record that was about 35 years in the making from my perspective, because I've always loved, like so many performers, the first place I ever played and sang was the church. And church music, gospel music, was always a big part of my life. With every act I've ever worked with just as a musician, whether it was Lester Flatt or Johnny Cash or the Sullivan Family gospel singers, the gospel was always a major part of the repertoire. I always wanted to get around to making a gospel record. And mainstream country music, those kind of charts really don't welcome or know what to do with gospel music much anymore. Country performers used to always make gospel records. But when the Fabulous Superlatives were formed, Harry Stinson, Brian Glenn, Kenny Vaughan, and myself, we got to know each other in part by playing gospel music, singing harmonies together. And it was finally the right cast and the right timing, the right situation, and Soul's Chapel kind of appeared.
Well, tell you what, let's hear some of that music, and we'll talk more about this and other things you've been up to.
All right. Well, David, I'd like to introduce you to the Fabulous Superlatives. Over here on the guitar, we have Cousin Kenny Vaughan. Well,
yes.
Brother Brian Glenn on the bass fiddle.
All right.
Handsome Harry Stinson. On the drums, and we're going to play a little song now that comes from the book of all books. It's called It's Time to Go Home Handsome, if you will. It's going to be a winner.
What the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, it is read, the 16th verse in chapter 4. Now listen, friend, let me tell you more. He said the Lord himself is gonna shout, but Gabriel will bring his trumpet out. He's gonna blow it loud from the eastern sky. Then the saints in Christ shall rise. They'll go dancing on the clouds. They're gonna go first to show us how. Talking about the child that's left behind. It'll only be for a moment's time. Then get up out of that ground.
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 Oh, child, it's time to go home.
Serving Jesus day by day.
Sometimes
I drift and dream at night to the heaven world, such a precious sight. I wonder how long will it take.
steps out from those gates and says, come on, now's the time. Yeah. Friend, don't you get left behind. Get up out of that ground.
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 Oh, child, it's time to go home. Get up out of that ground.
Get up out of that ground.
A big amen to Marty Stewart and the Fabulous Superlatives. That's from Soul's Chapel. That's one of Marty's compositions. It's Time to Go Home. There are a number of other folks' music in here. It's funny what you bring up about country music not necessarily still accepting the gospel into it. But I'm wondering about the whole Christian community and how they feel about like a roots oriented thing like this coming from a former sinner such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What's your experience been with them?
Well, my experience goes back a long way in this. In the mid-'80s, early 80s, I produced a gospel record called Believe in Him on Johnny Cash. And it was the first time I'd ever had. I thought it was all a community that kind of flowed together. But I found out that it's two separate empires altogether because the Christian bookstores had trouble figuring out how to let Johnny Cash and his image, or his perceived image, into some of those ranks from time to time. So we hit trouble there, and I'm sure it's not a lot different today. I find that that our record has been accepted more so outside the church than it has been inside the church. And the black church of all places is actually where this record came from, and that's where we've seen the most acceptance, black church and rock and rollers.
Well, yeah, and you look at the songs you do, and there, of course, a couple Staple Singers things here, and there's certainly a reason for that, and there are other things that are certainly part of the black tradition. If you look at the Steve Cropper, William Beltune Slow Train. But what effect have the Staples had on you? I understand you and Pops were friends for a long time.
I came together with the Staple Singers. There was a project in the 90s called Rhythm Country and Blues that MCA Records did that I was a part of. And country singers got together and sang duets with R&B singers, which really there's no difference in the music. It's the same kind of music. And I'd always been a fan of the Staple Singers, and I did The Wait with Pops and Mavis and Yvonne and Cleo. And instantly became like family. They're just precious. They were precious people.
And I understand that when Pops passed, you ended up getting one of his guitars.
Mavis and Yvonne came out to our show in Chicago, I guess about a year and a half ago, and brought Pops guitar. I thought they were bringing it for me to put strings on or something, but they bequeathed it to me, and I've said it was like being handed Excalibur. Then Pops was a mighty guitar player, in my opinion. He was a proclaimer. He was as much of a force of light as Robert Johnson was, say, a force of darkness. And to have Pop Staples' guitar hung around your neck, it comes with a price. It's like having a flashlight hung around your neck. It sees all things.
Wow, that's a great image for a guitar. Marty Stewart and his Fabulous Superlatives are here today. We're hearing music from Soul's Chapel. And Marty, where do you want to go next?
I'd like to bring Harry Stinson around to the microphone, ladies and gentlemen. There's a great record store in Memphis on Beale Street called Memphis Music. It's a great place to find old kind of cut out records, hard to get records. And the Staples, you mentioned the Staples, David. They did a record called Soul Folk in Action. And we discovered a song on here that Steve Cropper and William Bell wrote in 1968, I believe, and it's called Slow Train. And I thought this was my song until I heard Handsome Harry sing it, and it became his song. So here's Handsome Harry Stinson to sing. It's Slow Train Moving On.
Like any great gospel quartet, they can anybody can sing the lead, and Harry Stinson with the fabulous superlatives. Marty Stewart is our guest today on the Cafe, and this is all tunes from Soul's Chapel, latest release. You were talking a bit about that old album from the Staples Singers, and you talk like a man who really reveres the albums, knows all the dates, knows all the facts, and you worked with the Country Music Hall of Fame. But, Marty, it seems to me that you kind of are your own Country Music Hall of Fame with all of your that you own, all the artifacts that you own. Why did you start personally preserving all the artifacts of country music?
Well, I was always, David, I was always kind of historical minded. I always liked knowing where I came from and where the music came from. The characters were interesting, and I started so young with Lester Flatt. I didn't drive. I lived out at his house, and my peers were like his peers, which was like Ernest Tubb and Grandpa Jones and Bill Monroe and String Bean, Earl Scruggs, people like that. And every time they'd get together and talk, it was just like going to a history lesson and being at the feet of the masters, of the architects of American music. And that kind of started getting shoved aside in the early 80s around Nashville, especially because the urban cowboy was a scare was coming in. A lot of our people, a lot of our artifacts, a lot of our history and culture was just kind of being swept off into yard sales, thrift shops, places like that. And in the early 80s, I was in London on tour with the Johnny Cash Band, and I ran into a fellow named Isaac Tigert, who had started the Hard Rock Cafe. And he said, you know, he's a guy from the South as well, so he said, come and see what we're up to. And I went to the Hard Rock in London, and there was costumes from the Beatles on the wall and the Stones and the Who and people like that. And I thought, well, even though it's a hamburger joint, they still treat these kind of artifacts with a certain amount of respect and regard and dignity. And it got me to thinking on the way back to America on the airplane. That whole plane trip I spent thinking about the rhinestone suits and the cowboy boots and the manuscripts and the photographs and the guitars and the boots, and the people themselves were just kind of being discarded. So I just went after, as a hobby in the beginning, preserving culture. And it started in my bedroom, and then it got really out of hand. So it's about 20,000 items. Strong or sick, however you look at it nowadays.
Do you end up giving any of that to the foundation, to the museum?
It was on loan there for a good while, and several exhibits have been staged out of it. It's a friendly exhibit. Have things at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Autry Museum, the Cody Museum. The Smithsonian actually has something, and the Country Music Hall of Fame as well. It's been a kind of a library and a friendly museum, friendly exhibit to all those places.
I've always been a big fan of the nudie suits. There's actually more than one person that makes nudie suits for country music, and you've been known to wear a few of those. Are they hard to preserve? Are they the older ones kind of falling apart, or how does that work?
Well, it depends on how much they were used, but I have stuff from the in my collection from the 40s. And early 50s, and the fabric back then and the craftsmanship was just, it was pretty good reflection of how serious people took their craft. And a lot of those suits are still very wearable, so very usable.
Hmm. You've described a period of time when there wasn't much reverence for the past in country music, but it seems to be a lot nowadays. And I wonder what your take is on something like the old brother phenomenon, as to whether that's been good and actually helped bluegrass music, old-timey music, and old-timey country music, or is that kind of a flash in the pan?
Oh, I don't think it's a flash in the pan at all. The first experience I had with it was in Lester Flatt's band in the 70s when Deliverance came out and the song Dueling Banjos. And that combined with, it usually takes a movie or a dirt band to reignite country music's roots to a new audience. In the 70s, it was Deliverance and the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, who were considered a rock and roll band at the time, did Will the Circle Be Unbroken Part 1. And it was a brilliant effort. And that happened. And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou basically, I think, did the same thing for country and bluegrass music, especially bluegrass and old-timey music this time, that movie did in the 70s.
Well, it's great to have Souls Chapel doing something about old-time gospel music. What do you want to do next?
Well, first thing I'd like to do, we've mentioned Lester Flatt a couple of times. We have a really special guest in our studio today, Lester Flatt's cousin, the Reverend Lehman Flatt. So, hello, Lehman Flatt, everybody. Say hello to Lehman Flatt.
Hey,
all
hey.
Right. We'll do this song for Lehman Flatt. And here comes cousin Kenny Vaughn, David, in his snappy shoes to do a song called Coming to the House of the Lord. Brother, cousin Kenny Vaughn.
Yes, cousin. Yeah.
Come on in.
All right, boys, here we go.
Coming to the house of the Lord. Coming to the house of the Lord. There's love overflowing, a joy that you've been knowing when you come into the house of the Lord. Coming to the house of the Lord.
Well, I got a friend named Jesus. He's everything, yes, indeed. In your darkest hour, you can call upon power, 'cause he knows everything you need, every little thing you need. You don't have to preach like John the Baptist or prophesy like Apostle Paul. If you just step inside, Jesus will provide love and salvation for us all. Love and salvation, one and all. Coming to the house
sure that you've been knowing when you come into the house of the Lord. Come into the house of the Lord. A shameful life of sin, but in my dissipation I had a revelation. A deacon took my hand and led me in. That's when my redemption did begin. Come into the house of the Lord. Come into the house of the Lord. There's love overflowing, a joy that you've been knowing when you come into the house of the Lord. Come into the house of the Lord. We're coming to the house of the Lord. Come into the house of the Lord. I lay my burden down, put on my robe and crown, and I come into the house of the Lord. Come into the house of the Lord.
Come on in the house of the Lord.
Marty Stewart, the fabulous superlatives, coming to the house of the Lord from Souls Chapel, his new gospel album. Big thanks to Marty for joining us today. And if you're looking for his music or music of any of the artists you hear on the cafe, you can find it at our World Cafe website at worldcafe.npr.org.